Well, hello, everybody. Like Megan said, my name is Breezy, and I'm really excited to be here with you all this morning slash afternoon to continue this series we're doing on the book of James. Now, if you've been around at our Monday chapels the past few weeks, you know that we are taking the book of James section by section and really breaking down just these practical truths about how to walk out the Christian faith. And now James is honestly one of my favorite books of the Bible. And I think that the reason that this is because growing up, my parents about once a year would have us memorize the book of James. And I remember being young and not necessarily understanding why they had us do this. But as I got older, I just recognized the benefit and how special it was to just have these words hidden in my heart of how to walk out this faith that I profess. And if you were here last week, we heard a message from Jamie about trials and temptation and how as Christians we're called to act in the midst of those. And this week we're getting into a section of James that is about hearing and doing the word of God. And we're going to be reading out of James 1, 19 through 21 this morning. Should be up on the screen. And it says, "My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you." Now, James is pretty straightforward in this message, in this verse, when he states that in order to fully follow Christ, to fully accept this word that we've been given, we have to throw off the things in this world that keep us from walking that out, and human anger, as well as the things that lead us to act on human anger. Now, this whole section in James is referring to this concept of humbly accepting this implanted word. And you know, this word of God, the seed that he's given us, is something each and every one of us have been gifted with. But like any gift, we have the choice what we do with that seed, with that word of God that we've been given. And now, if you've read the Bible, you know it's no stranger to plant metaphors about growth, fruit, roots, things like that. And I remember when I was 15 years old, there was this trend going around where people were making these like mini gardens to keep in your room. And I remember at 15, this was the coolest thing ever. I wanted one so bad. And my birthday was just coming around the corner. So I remember practically begging my mom, please, please get me the stuff to make this mini garden for my room. Well, my birthday came around and my mom came through and she got me what I wanted. And so I was so excited. I put this thing together. I set it in the windowsill so it could get light. And I was determined to be like the best plant mom possible. And for the first few weeks, I did a really good job at this. I watered them, made sure they had sunlight, took good care of them, and they were looking good. They were blossoming. The flowers were coming out. And you know, after these first few weeks, life started to get a little bit busy, and I kind of put these things in the back burner. Every time I saw them, I was like, I'll deal with it later, I'll water it later, I'll get to it tomorrow. And not to my surprise, all these plants died. They didn't survive because I didn't take care of them. And now, the reason that I share this story is because I think this is really what James is getting at. We have each and every one of us been given this gift of God's word, which is the power to save our souls. But while we've been given this gift, it's up to us to choose what we do with this implanted word that God has given us. We can either humbly accept it, we can care for it, we can spend time in it and allow the word to grow and blossom in our lives and inform the way that we act, or we can let it lay dormant. We can forget about it and put it on the back burner. And James makes it clear in this verse the ways in which we're supposed to approach growing this implanted word and nourishing it through the way that we act and the relationships that we have. And in relationship with anyone, we want to be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. So I want to take some time to break this down. To be slow to speak. I'm sure that all of us have experienced conversations in our lives where things just have not been very two-sided. Maybe one person commands the conversation, has a lot more to say, maybe you can't get a word in. And I know that there's some people that naturally kind of just say whatever comes to mind and maybe don't have a filter. And there might be some people that are a little more reserved, take a little bit more time to think before they speak. But wherever you fall in this range, James makes the point that in order to obey the word of God, in order to walk it out, we should be slower to speak than we are to listen. And it's easier when you don't think before you speak to say things that you don't mean, to act on emotions that don't necessarily produce right relationship with God. And when we don't think before the words that we say, it's easy to say things we don't mean. And you know, you don't really glean much information if you don't give people time to listen. You know, when you have a relationship with someone, when you're in relationship with them, you value the words that they have to say. You take time to listen, let them speak, because you know that what they have to say holds value. And it's important, if we're gonna value people, if we're gonna treat people the way God intended, to give room for them to speak. And a lot of times, pride goes hand in hand with this. You know, when you don't give room for people or God to speak in your life, it's sometimes because you think that what you have to say or the information that you hold has more value than what someone else has to say. And it makes us a lot less teachable and learnable. And sometimes it might not be about pride. It might just be a lack of self-control or a need to be more aware of the fact that people around us have information for us to glean that sometimes might be better than what we have. And we have to take this into consideration and recognize that when we're quick to speak, we're not slow to take time to allow room for other people to speak into our lives. We're being inwardly focused, and we know we're called to be outwardly focused and to be selfless, which brings us in turn to what we should be doing, which is to be quick to listen. I think as humans, we have this natural inclination to not be quick to listen. We live in a really fast-paced society. You can order something on Amazon and it's at your door that night. We're very used to kind of getting what we want when we want it. And because of the way our society is structured and the world that we live in, it's made us a lot less patient in some areas. And you know, relationships in any form should be two-sided. There should be ample room for each person to speak. And you know, listening in and of itself is a way that you show you care. When you care about someone, when you have a friend, you care about the things that they have to say. And when you're going through something difficult or you've had a bad day, you go to someone to talk to because you know that they're gonna listen and help you process, not because they're gonna have answers to all the questions that you have or be able to solve the problems that you had, but they just listen, they understand, and they care. And the same goes with our relationship with God. He cares so deeply for us. But we have to allow that room and take time to listen to what he has to say so we don't miss out on the answers to our questions that we want or miss out on what he's really calling us to do. You know, a lot of times people go to God with these requests and this desire for answers or change, and it's easy to get frustrated and impatient when things don't go our way or we don't hear him answer us fast enough. And lack of understanding and lack of patience can make us impatient in listening to God's voice. It's easy to get angry and upset with God when in reality, sometimes we have to look inward and recognize maybe why we aren't hearing from God is because we're not giving him the space to speak. And the best way to learn is to listen. When you're trying to build a relationship or you meet somebody new, you listen to them. You listen to them tell you about their background, things that they know, things that they like to do, similarities and differences that you have. And from this, you kind of determine if this is someone that you could get along with and that could be your friend. And it's like with our classes, we go in, we sit down, we listen to a lecture, and it's how we learn. And learning also has a lot to do with humility. It's the opposite of pride. Because when you humble yourself and recognize that sometimes the information you have or what you know isn't the best out there, you're willing and able to learn and let people speak into your life in the way that God has intended. Listening and learning go hand in hand. So with our relationship with God, we know that we truly understand more about him. We know him more when we listen. And that lack of listening can lead to this lack of understanding, which produces things like anxiety, frustration, and anger. And we know that we're called to be slow to become angry. And I think this is where we get to that kind of difficult part of this verse, because there's a lot of things to get angry about. And this verse is not saying never be angry, never feel that emotion, because we know that anger in and of itself is an emotion that we feel. But rather it's how you respond to that emotion, how you respond to that anger, whether that be in God's way or in the human way, that makes a difference. You know, we live in a world full of people who are quick to get angry, quick to walk into pride and lack of patience. And anger of itself is not just something that affects the person you're angry at or the people outside of you, but it affects yourself as well. It's this whole body emotion. When you get angry, your heart rate actually goes up, your blood pressure rises, and sometimes your body starts to feel warm or hot. It's really this full body experience that really affects us in ways more than what we can understand. You know, a lot of times self-control goes out the door. When you're angry, you don't think before you speak, and the self-control is just not there that it was intended to be there. And you know, The people that James was referring to in this passage were a lot like us today. They were under a lot of pressure, a lot of stress, and there were a lot of reasons for them to get upset and feel that emotion of anger. But what James is warning them and warning us is that we have to be aware of the way we react in the face of frustration and anger and temptation. And in Psalms 4:4, it reaffirms this truth when it says, "Don't sin by letting anger control you. Think about it overnight and remain silent." You know, letting anger control you and having healthy, good relationships do not go together. Relationships end and break because of anger. Someone does something wrong, the other gets upset, the relationship breaks if it can't be mended. And this is why it's important to be slow to get angry and not let that emotion of anger control you. I don't know about you, but there have been plenty of times in my life where an argument or resentment could simply be avoided if I heeded the advice of this word and chose to be slow to get angry, but also chose to not just speak and act on every emotion of anger that I have. You know, Psalms tells us to be silent, not because you're not allowed to speak, but because a lot of times when you're angry and you don't take that time to think and process or understand what the other person is feeling, it's very easy to act on anger in the wrong way. And a lot of times we use less self-control and we're not slow to get angry, but we're quick to act on that emotion. And when you're angry, you don't really think straight. You say things you don't mean, you don't exercise that self-control in the way that we're called. And this is why James warns people and how quickly they are to jump to anger, because it not only reflects yourself and your relationship with others, but it affects your relationship with God. And it doesn't produce this right relationship, this righteousness that we're called to. And you know, in this passage, the word righteousness is not meant to refer to perfection, but rather right relationship with God. You know, the word and acting on the word and living that out is meant to usher us into this fruitful and right relationship with God. And you know, when we walk in anger, when we allow bitterness to take root in our heart, it keeps us from growing. It keeps us from having that deep, close relationship with God. And it puts a disconnect between us. And you know, anger also comes from a place of pride. Usually in my experience, when I have an argument or when people around me are arguing, the hardest thing afterwards is to admit you were wrong and say you're sorry. And it just comes from this place of not wanting to humble yourself before someone else and recognize that maybe the things you said or the way that you handled your anger was not right. And it's difficult, but it's what we're called to. And therefore, we're called to humble ourselves before God and before others and just open our hearts for what he has for us and what he wants for us to do. So in order to truly nurture this relationship, to grow the word of God in us, we have to be humble. And all of the things listed in this verse, when we choose not to do them, lead to sin. They lead for us to walk outside of God's will. And you know, anger and pride do not usher us into that fruitful relationship God desires. And this is why we're told to throw off the things that cause us to walk in anger and walk in bitterness and pride, so we can be able to throw those off and walk in that whole fruitful relationship with God. We know that evil and light cannot be in fellowship, so if we want that true fellowship with Christ, we have to leave behind the pride, the anger, and the bitterness, and we have to make that choice to walk in patience and forgiveness and humility. So when it comes to our own lives, the passage in James is fully applicable to us today. You know, in a society full of people who are quick to get angry, quick to act on emotion and not think about how our words affect other people, we are called to rise above that and to live in a way that is gracious and kind. And the word of God, when we put it into action, when we let that root grow and blossom in our lives, allows us to walk in faith, a faith that through relationship with Christ saves our souls. And so as I come to a close, I want to leave you guys with just a couple questions to contemplate as you go out into your week. You know, as a community, we want to be people who hear the word of God and put it into action in our own lives. We don't want to just let it come in one ear and out the other, but we want to apply it. So the first question I want to ask you is, how are you nourishing the gift of the implanted word of God that God has given you? You know, I would challenge you to just take some time this week to evaluate the ways in which you're taking this gift, honoring and cherishing it. You know, the more time we spend with God, getting to know him, understanding the way that he is and who he is, the more naturally these things that James tells us to do will come. Notice how in each passage, James mentions things that usually involve interactions with other people. And throughout our days, we have many interactions, whether that's at school, church, or work. And we can't really control what people say in those interactions. We can't control what's said or done and the emotions we might feel during those interactions. But we do have the choice on how we're going to let the Word of God inform how we react. And you know, if we're nourishing that Word of God in us daily, if we're really taking it to heart and allowing it to grow, these encounters are going to look a lot different than if we don't. We want to feed the Word of God, and we want to allow it to take root in our lives. And the next question I want to ask is, how can you practice slowness in your relationship with Christ? I think a common theme in this passage is just slowing down and being quicker to think and quicker to contemplate than we are to act and to speak. And slowness, while it might not be something that comes naturally, is a practice. And you know, with anything that you practice, the more you do it, the easier it gets. And so how much time are we really taking to leave space for God to speak in our lives? I think if I'm being honest and I look at my time with the Lord, the ratio between me speaking and listening is not very even, but it should be. You know, we're sometimes in such a rush to get through our days, get answers to questions, and to move on that we miss out on what God wants to say to us. And when we let that relationship and that slowness in listening to God's voice sit on the back burner, we miss out on the wholeness of what he wants this relationship to be, which is two ways. He wants us to speak to him, but he also wants to speak to us. And I think especially as college students, we can really benefit from slowing down. You know, we have 100 things grabbing our attention all at once, and it can be really easy to let our exams, our homework, our personal lives take precedence over our time with the Lord. But this isn't something that we should neglect. You know, in order to be successful in what James calls us to, in order to thrive in walking out this Word of God, we have to spend time in it, and we have to spend time allowing God to work in us. So I would encourage you as you go out into the rest of your week to take time to nourish that Word of God and to slow down and allow him to speak to you. Let's pray. God, we thank you so much for who you are. We thank you that we have access to you, Lord, and that you are there for us. I pray that as we go into our week, I pray that we would allow time and space for you to speak to us, Lord, and that we would be obedient to what you have to say, Lord. We thank you for who you are and all you do. In your name we pray, amen.